Father, we are extremely grateful. It's such an honor to know you and also to have the freedom to be able to associate and gather and assemble to come and teach and share your word and learn from your spirit. Lord, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand as I go into the word this morning. I pray for fresh unction from heaven that I would speak indeed as I should as an oracle of God. And I also ask that they put the same unction upon the ears and the hearts of everyone who will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray for mercy, Lord, that your power will be released in great, insufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes. Yes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, that indeed I will deliver this word as I should, as a scribe instructed under the kingdom, speaking only what you want me to say, bringing out treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto your kingdom, and redeeming the time as I speak, in Jesus' name. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me individually and said,
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to continue our study in the book of Revelation. In our last lesson, I believe I stopped in verse 6 and 7, somewhere in there. And, yes, verse 6. And we also started verse 7. I don't think I got there properly, you know. And in this last in this verse, he says he has made us kings and priests to God, to his God and Father. To him be glory and forever and ever. He washed us in his blood, then he made us kings and priests. Now it's crucial for you to understand who your identity in Christ. I think E.W. Kenyon has an excellent book. I'm sure it's available online somewhere. You know, there's a group of brethren that are still marketing E.W. Kenyon's materials. It's called Kenyon's Publishing Company, something like that. I subscribe to them. You know, I send them an offering every month, so I know they're alive and well. Praise the Lord. And all his books are available. Practically all of them are available now online. One of them is called Identification, and as Christians, we need to understand that when Jesus paid the price on the cross and he was raised again from the dead by the Holy Spirit, there are quite a number of very vital things that became ours legally. And this is one of them. We became kings and priests after, watch this, the order of Melchizedek for the priesthood and after the order of David for the king. All of us, simply because you are in Christ. Has nothing to do with how good you are or how bad you are. Simply because you're a born-again Christian and you have been grafted into the Lord Jesus Christ. So when the Bible says we are in him, it's literal. You know, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. So when you get born again, you are grafted into Christ. And by that spiritual operation, God the Holy Spirit, firstly, he cleanses your sin nature, you know, in your spirit. He removes that with the blood of Jesus. That's the first thing that takes place. Then secondly, the life of God is injected into your human spirit, recreating it, making it a new creature in Christ Jesus. And it's an instant operation. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, because of that new connection, there are many things that, you know, are yours legally. One of them is healing. Another one is, one of them is righteousness, right standing with God, you know, and the ability to live above sin. You have dominion over sin legally. You know, you must have to work it out vitally, but that it belongs to you. you know, you're, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Divine healing and health is yours, and as well as divine protection. Divine prosperity is yours, you know. And this, becoming a king and a priest, is yours. All of us are priests after the order of Melchizedek in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they were priests after the order of Aaron, or we'll call the Levitical priesthood, because they came, Aaron and Moses came from the tribe of Levi. However, in the New Testament, Jesus comes from the tribe of Judah, but we're not using all those natural tribes anymore. We're now made priests after the order of Melchizedek and kings after the order of David, because David was the spiritual dynasty that God chose to bring his kings through. Even though the natural dynasty of David failed, many of the kings were not good kings, you know, but God was not looking at a natural dynasty, he was looking at a spiritual dynasty. It is for this reason Paul picks this up from in Acts chapter 13, and also we see the same thing. He quotes, you know, from the book of Samuel and all of that, and says, "I have found in David the son of Jesse a man after my own heart." The crucial word there is heart. Any Christian who will develop the kind of heart, the humble, honest heart that seeks, you know, to do all of the will of God. That was the thing that characterized David. David wanted to do all of the will of God. That type of heart is a David heart. And so you qualify to become a king after the dynasty, spiritual dynasty of David. That's why Christ is called the Son of David. So all of us, because we're in Christ, we also become sons of David. You know, so we're kings and priests. However, these two functions, they're actually complementary, you know, and you can, let's say it this way. I said it this way last time. The degree to which you are an effective king is the degree to which you're an effective priest. I learned that from Derek Prince, who's also gone home to be with the Lord, great man of God. That's another resource I can recommend to any Christian. You want to get some good foundational truth and teaching, you know, Derek Prince's, his books and all these things, his messages are available on their website, you know, and they're great resources. They helped me tremendously, you know, in my foundational years. And now, you cannot be a king, it says, where the word of the king is, there is power, if you have not done your priestly ministry of prayer and intercession. Many Christians want to decree, but they don't want a priestly ministry of intercession. You know, I hear silly things like, and I call them silly because they are silly. You know, some people are called the ministry of intercession. No, I'm not called to that. You know, I'm just called to a kingly ministry. There's no such thing. You cannot be an effective king if you are not an effective priest. Every single Christian is called to the priesthood. If you can't say amen, say oh me. Amen. It's not just the pastors. Hello? If you're a child of God, you're born again Christian in Christ Jesus, you are legally a king and a priest. And you're supposed to develop your priestly ministry, which has to do with what did they do in the Old Testament? What did the priests do? They did two vital things for the people. You know, two vital. There are things they did, but two vital things. They offered up sacrifice in order to cleanse their sins. You know, and then secondly, they offered up incense. You know, I shared this last time. I don't want to go through everything all over again. You know, and every day, you know, the priests would go into the holy of, not the holy of all, the holy place, you know, and they would offer up on the altar of incense. They would take the showbread, they had the candlestick, then they would offer up incense, and then they'll come out. That's what Zechariah was doing when angel Gabriel appeared to him and told him about the birth of John the Baptist. And that's why people are wondering, this man is long this morning. You know, because usually it doesn't take, you know, doesn't take too long, maybe about 10, 15 minutes, and he's in and out. But that day, you know, he kept like lingering. I was wondering, well, I hope he's all right. So the guy finally comes out. It wasn't the Holy of Holies. It wasn't the Day of Atonement. It was just
an ordinary day, you know. And when he came out, the guy couldn't talk. I said, oh, my goodness. He must have seen a vision or something, which actually happened. But the important point is this. So just like the Old Testament priests would offer up sacrifices, animal sacrifices, and use their blood as a covering and as an atonement for the sins of the people, and then offer up incense, the New Testament priest does exactly the same thing. But we do it spiritually. We don't offer up the blood of animals. Jesus died. So we take the blood of Jesus and we sprinkle it. By forgiving, the Bible says, whoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. By forgiving people their sins, you know, both those they commit against us and those they don't commit against us. Amen. Once you see your brother sin, your priestly ministry, and I'll be talking about this later on in my main message today, you know, demands that you ask for their forgiveness. Amen. It doesn't matter whether they ask for it or not. It's part of your priestly ministry. Amen. Then secondly, you also offer up incense, which is intercession. Everybody say intercession. You know, most people don't like that word. You know, I'm talking about prayer, and I'm talking about in the spirit, not just ordinary, just, you know, talking. You pray in tongues, you pray with groaning, you pray with travail. It's a part of our priestly ministry. It is the people who are faithful in that priestly ministry of remission of sin and praying in the spirit that now qualify to be effective kings. Because of the intercession that they have done, the spiritual power that has been generated in the place of prayer is what comes out of their mouth. So when they decree a thing, it shall be established. So we saw all of this last time. So all of us are kings and priests legally. Now, to become a vital priest and a king, you have to start practicing these things. And it's for everybody. Everybody, and you start when you're a younger Christian, you know, when you first get born again, you start learning how to pray and all of that. Well, I'll probably talk more about that later in my main message. I have a very important message, you know, that's really a spin-off of this and an expansion of some very vital things God has been speaking to us. But so that's the kings and the priests. Then we looked at one scripture which I'd like to review. It's in Zechariah. Chapter 6, I think it's verse 13 in the Amplified Bible. Zechariah chapter 6 in verse 13 in the Amplified Bible. And this is what it says. And this is a very, very important scripture. You're talking about the two offices of the king and the priest, because you have to combine them. And like I said earlier on, many Christians don't know how to, and they don't even try. You know, because people just want to, you know, people... Water, you know, people like to take the path of least resistance. Everybody wants to be a king because it's attractive. But very few people want to be priests, because many times the priestly ministry is done in secret. It's not a public show. You know? Like that wonderful woman, her name was Anna. The lady that prayed the Lord Jesus Christ into the earth. The Bible says she was intercessing for 60 years. She was, you know, she was 84. By then Jesus was born. The Bible says she was, you know, she lived with her husband, you know, and then she's been, she, you know, from her virginity. And she says she served God. The Bible is wonderful. It says without ceasing, with fasting and prayer, she did not depart from the temple. That doesn't mean she wasn't living there. She wasn't living there. She was going home, coming back. Every day she would pray some hours, then she would go home and she would come back. You know, can you imagine? 60 years! Approximately. 60 years. You know? And you know what? If that story was not recorded in the book of Luke, you wouldn't even know she exists. She's not a prophet. I'm sure she was. She was a prophetess. You know? She's not a, you know, she was just faithful. And Jesus says this about prayer. He said, when you pray, he said, enter into your closet. You know, and pray to thy Father which is in secret. And your Father which seeth in secret will reward you openly. Now, because this priestly ministry is usually in secret, it's not attractive. It's the kingly one everybody wants, where everybody will see you. You know, where you come like Elijah and say, except by my word, it will not rain for the next 3 years. Everybody wants to do that. But you know, the Elijah that did that is also an Elijah of prayer.
Yes, sir.
It's the Elijah that put his head in between his knees. And he began to groan and travail. And that's how he brought the rain. So you cannot have the kingly ministry without the priestly ministry. Okay, so he says here, he says, yes, you are building the temple of the Lord. This was the temple Zerubbabel and Ezra and the others were building. But it is he, talking prophetically about the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall build the true temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the honor and glory as of the only begotten of the Father. You know, they put that in brackets, the translators, you know, which is correct. Excuse me. And he shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But like I said to you some time ago, everything that applies to Jesus applies to you and I. Because by virtue of the fact that we are in him, everything he has is ours. He didn't do anything for himself. He already had all of those things. The reason why he came to the earth and he became sin and became a man and died and rose again was so that we could rise with him. So everything he has now is ours. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The word joint there means equal. If you can't say amen, say oh me. You know, because you know most Christians, they don't, you know, they have this false humility, and it's a false one. You know that no, we can't touch the glory. The Bible says you were created for the glory. Now, of course, you don't take the glory that belongs alone to God as far as worship and all of that is concerned. Now, I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about taking of his glory, the same glory Jesus had, is supposed to be, that's your destiny. Amen. And so he says, he shall be a priest upon his throne and shall be the counsel of peace or harmony between the two offices, priest and king. So you've got to harmonize them in your Christian life. You get up early in the morning, thank God for the Good Morning Jesus platform and others. You know, you get up early in the morning and do your priestly ministry. And then you now come out of your closet and go about your honor. And so you find that, you know, that when you now go out and you have a problem, you know, whatever, you can speak to it. Now it's a kingly ministry, but it comes out of the priestly ministry. If the priestly ministry isn't there in the background, the kingly ministry will not be as effective as it ought to be. That's a great truth that we need to know. And so, let's go to verse 7. He said, behold, I didn't hear you folks, he is coming with the clouds, with clouds rather, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. I didn't hear you. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Wow. Let's read verse 8. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord. Who is? I didn't hear you. Who is? Who was? And who is to come? The Almighty. Let's take these two verses. Here, the Apostle John is giving us like a brief, very brief summary of what he's going to be talking about in the whole of the book of Revelation. And he says, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and he said, you know, I, John, to the seven churches, you know, and talked about the three persons of the Godhead, you know, grace from God the Father, Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, and washed us in sins and made us kings and priests and all of that. Now, he's talking about Jesus, and he says that, behold means to look and see. In other words, what I'm going to tell you in this book of Revelation is going to reveal to you that he's coming back. And when he comes back, he's going to come with clouds. There's going to come from heaven. And every eye will see him. Man. Even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. See, this is talking about the triumphant return of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, with us the saints behind him.
is described in more graphic detail in Revelation chapter, I think it's 17, where it says that, you know, he's coming, he's riding on a white horse, and with him all of the armies of heaven who are called, chosen, and faithful. Now, this is not a twinkling in the eye. This is not the rapture. Otherwise, every eye cannot see him. If it's a twinkling of eyes. Hello? This is not a twinkling in the eye. This one, the eye, koro like this. Everybody will be seeing him. And they will see him coming in his glory with the clouds of heaven. Those clouds there are both literal and symbolic. Because he's coming from the sky, he's coming from heaven, there'll be clouds around. But he's also symbolic of us, the saints, because we're also called clouds. Hello, somebody. So he'll be coming, you know, on a white horse. We don't see the white horse here, but we're told that in the book of, later on in the book of Revelation, you know, with 10,000s of his saints, which will include you and I. Hello, somebody. You don't want to be on the wrong side on that day. There are going to be people who are going to be on the earth, and then there are going to be people who are coming from heaven. Be with the heavenly company. Because the guys on the earth are going to cry. That's why it says, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Let me say it in Yoruba, in a nice way, say, Yepa. Agbeo. In our language, that means they will say, oh my God, you know, we're in trouble. You know, we've been preaching to them, telling them Jesus is coming. They don't believe, you know. People, scoffers, have been saying what they like, you know. Even the rebellious in the church. Amen. You know, and then, you know, then all of a sudden, the sky just opens. And Jesus is returning on a white horse with all these. You say 10,000 is much more than 10,000. It's millions. Hallelujah. Of his saints that are called, chosen, and faithful. And they are breaking through the clouds. And God is going to do it in such a way that I don't know which direction they're going to come from. Amen. But all the earth is going to see him.
Amen.
One thing, because of technology anyway, because of, you know, satellites and all of that. But even apart from the God is bigger than technology. Amen.
Amen.
And you can imagine. Because every eye will see him, and they will be crying, and all the tribes of the earth, you know, they know they are in trouble because they didn't believe, and they have said all kinds of silly things that they shouldn't say.
Yes, sir.
I like it the way you say how, which ungodly sinners have ungodly said in with their heart on ungodly speeches against him. And people say, so it's true. I wish I had listened.
Amen.
But it's too late then. It's too late then. It's too late then. He said, even those who pierced him. Now, let me ask you a question. Who pierced him? We deal with that on Wednesday. In our Bible study. Well, the Roman soldiers pierced him. But it wasn't the Roman soldiers alone. They did it indirectly. They were only doing what their governor told them to do. You know, and Pilate too didn't want to pierce him. All right? But who really pierced him was Ananias and Caiaphas and all the high priests and all that went behind and pulled their political strings to make sure that Pilate actually crucified him when Pilate didn't want to crucify him.
Amen.
So they were the people who really pierced him. And you know what? You want to ask a question, where will they be? Will they be on the earth? They're already dead. Ananias is dead. Caiaphas is dead. So how will they be able to see him? Everything is going to open. Even hell will open. As he's coming down, do you understand? The people on the earth will see him. Then the people who are under the earth,
wow,
who were there the day they were piercing him,
yeah.
Those who slapped him and said, prophesy. Hello? They will open, they will see him like this. As he's coming, the surface of the earth will be opened, so all the people in hell, all these years, all these, you know, hundreds of years, or how long they've been there, you know, they will all see him, and they know, man, we are in trouble.
we are in trouble. Even they who pierced him, all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. You know why? They had the opportunity to have. They should have been on the other side with us. You know why? This gospel of the kingdom had been preached to all the tribes. But they rejected it. Now they will have to face him. Let me tell you something about the Lord Jesus Christ that a lot of Christians probably don't know. You know, God is a very nice person. Very kind. Just. But he has another side. Hello? He's also a God of vengeance. He's also a consuming fire. And when God gives you a warning, sometimes God even begs you. Have you read in the Bible? I beseech you, I beseech you, I beseech you. It's because he doesn't want you to see this other side.
Amen.
But it's he's coming, and he's going to come with a vengeance. And as he breaks through the clouds with the company from heaven, all the tribes of the earth will see him. Those who pierced him, both those who did it directly and those who did it indirectly. Some of the Roman soldiers, some of them got born again later on and got to know that what they did was wrong and they had been forgiven. You know? But and even church history tells us this. I don't have proof of it and I will not preach it as doctrine, but I will mention it because I know God's character, that Pilate himself repented. I can believe it. I can easily believe it. They said Jesus appeared to Pilate. You know, it's in, I think, Josephus. The church history tells us this, you know, because you see, Pilate crucified him very reluctantly.
Very
he did it. So I can believe it. I can easily believe Jesus will appear to him and say, don't worry, you know, it's not your fault. You'll be okay. You'll be okay. So Private Pilate will be on our side. Praise the Lord. Are you listening to me? But all the other guys who deliberately in rebellion, you know, and stubbornness, held on to their own wrong belief. When Jesus breaks through the clouds, every eye will see him. A number of other things will happen on that day, or rather in that instant. Let me use that expression. The remaining saints, the post-tribulation saints, will pick them up from all the four corners of heaven. They will join us. You know, we're coming like that. Those ones will be all right. And then all the guys on the earth, the Antichrist, his armies, and all of that, you know, as Jesus is coming down through the clouds, the word of God is coming out of his mouth like a sword. Amen? He said it would destroy all of them. All the Antichrist and all his armies. We are told in the book of Zechariah and some other places, I don't want to go into the detail this morning, you know, but, you know, there will be so many dead bodies, it will take months to bury them. Because you have a 200 million man army. You see it in the book of Revelation later on. You know, in Revelation chapter 16, it says the armies of the east, they will come. Wait, you know, when these things were written, thousands of years ago, people couldn't believe them. But now, China is 1.something billion. India is 1.something billion. A 200 million army is not a big thing. But can you imagine 200 million men, you know, dying by fire, you know, that comes out of Jesus' mouth, you know, and destroys them. You know, so they all their corpses will be there. That's why the Bible says, you know, where the eagles are gathered, where the body is, there the eagles will be gathered. You know, it says he calls all the fowls of the heaven. He said they come and feast on the bodies of all these soldiers and with all their tanks and all of it. It's not going to be a very easy thing. Praise the Lord. Yeah, don't worry, we'll clean up. In a few months, we'll clean up because we're coming back to rule from Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. But it will take time. It will take time. You know, that's going to happen. Another thing that's going to happen there is that the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the devil, the unholy trinity. Satan always tries to duplicate what God has. So Satan is a type of God the Father. The Antichrist is a type of God the Son. And the false prophet is a type of God the Holy Spirit. The unholy trinity. You know, that throughout the tribulation period, we are doing all kinds of magic and, you know, they're causing their image to move and to talk. The Bible says they did great miracles and all that. Don't believe something just because it's miraculous. Because the devil himself can do miraculous things. But, you know, the snake of Moses will always eat up the snake of Jannes and Jambres. But, you know, to let you know that they have power, you try turning a stick into a snake, you will know that they have power. Amen? But God's power is greater. Amen. But to say they don't have power is to live in a fool's paradise. Are you listening to me? Now, but what we have in God is greater. So, they'll pick up these three bad boys. All right? Lucifer? The Antichrist? And the false prophet. Those ones don't go through any judgment. The judgment is still coming. There's no need to judge those ones. Their judgment has already been. It has been settled. And these angels pick them up and throw them live into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, where they will suffer forever and ever and ever. There is no such thing as purgatory. Forget it. This transaction has to be made now.
Amen.
They will take it. You know. Thank you, Bimbo, for getting me the scripture. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them. Huh? Don't be deceived, though. Let me warn you, as a Christian, if you are deceived now by miracles, you will be deceived then. Where is your faith? Is it only in some miraculous manifestation or in the Word of God? Do we believe in miracles? Yes. But the miracles must align with the Word of God. If there's a miracle and it's not in line with the Word of God, I don't want that miracle. They had received the mark of the beast. I shared this recently. Let me just say it now, you know, because we're on international television and everything. You know, they've done it in Sweden now and some places where they can put a chip. So instead of having a credit card, you know, they put a chip inside your hand. With that chip now, all your information, your bank account, passport, national identity, everything is there. So when you go to the shops, you don't need to go and start bringing out your credit card. You just swipe. Don't take it. It is the foundation and the beginning of the mark of the beast. The technology has already existed. It's already on the earth. Thousands of years ago when John wrote this, people think it's impossible. You know, but now we know. They plant it in your hand. They're even doing it for children now. Don't let your child take any mark. If they want to do anything, let them use your iris or your fingerprint. Do not take anything into your body. Because those who take the mark of the beast go straight to hell.
Amen.
I'll get into that maybe in some months' time, if God allows me. You know, and we teach more on the book of Revelation. But I just tell you this. The technology is already available.
Amen.
As a Christian, do not take a chip into your body for identification purposes, for buying and selling. Because that's what the Antichrist is going to use to, so that nobody can buy and nobody can sell unless they have his mark. And it's put either in your, is this left or right? You know, or they put it in your forehead, you know, just to make scanning easy. You know, these things tell you that the Bible is true. If you don't fear God, now I don't know when you will fear. All right? And both were cast alive. I didn't hear you. No. Let's go back to where we stopped. And that had received the mark of the beast. And them that worshipped his image. And both who? The beast and the false prophet, were cast alive into what? A lake of fire burning with brimstone. This is the lake of fire that all eternal rebels are going to be put in. Now, I heard this first from E.W. Kenyon. You know, it's good to listen to great fathers, you know, men of God. You know, I never thought of it before, but I was a relatively young Christian then, you know, and I didn't know the Bible as much as I do now, you know. But when he said it, I chuckled, and I said, wow, how true. You know what he said? He said that, you know, he said hell is the county jail. The lake of fire is the federal prison. Is it true?
Yes, sir.
Let's think in the natural. In the natural, if somebody commits an offense, for example, you know, they take you into custody, they can put you in one of these local jails. Agodi, thank you. You will not go to Agodi in Jesus' name. You know, like, you know, we have cells in many of the police stations. There's a cell in Songo here. There's another one in Dubai. There's another one. You know, those are we call them county. The Americans call them county. They're local jails. You are kept there while your trial is going on. Is this clear? Now, once your trial is finished, it will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Yeah. Yeah. While your trial is going on, you are kept in the county, you know, in that local. It's a cello. It's a prison. You know? So when the judge finish and your lawyers come and the defense, then the judge makes the final judgment and says that the person is guilty as charged and that he's going to spend 5 years with hard labor. They don't leave you in that local jail. That's when they come and take you. And then they take you to Kirikiri. Maximum security. Hellfire is the maximum security. This lake of fire. The hell that they are going to now, that is opposite, that used to be opposite Abraham's bosom, is the county jail. That's where, when they die now, and they don't have Jesus, and they rejected him and all of that, that's where they go. Not lake of fire, not yet. Go to the county jail, under the earth. That's why every eye will see him. Then that shall come to pass, which the prophet had said. You know, it's in Isaiah, I think it's in Isaiah, you know, where he says, yes, it's Isaiah 44, 45, somewhere in there. He says, I have sworn that unto me every tongue will confess and every knee will bow. You will bow? It's good to bow now.
Yes, sir. Amen.
If you don't bow now, you will bow then. When Jesus returns, all eyes will see him and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. Yeah. They didn't want to confess before, but now when they see him as a lion of the tribe of Judah returning on a white horse, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With all the saints from heaven and all the armies of heaven riding behind him, they will all mourn and say, yes, he's Lord. And they will bow. But it's too late then. All that bowing won't get you into it. It won't save you from anything. They will be taken, you know, and the devil and the unholy trinity, that's the first three. I've always said this jokingly down through the years, you know, that's the first three. You know, it would be interesting to know what the first ten are. You know, some bad boys. Wow. But don't let me speculate. I'm not God. I was going to mention a name, but, you know, but at least we know the first three. Lucifer, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And they go. They go to hell. Sorry, the lake of fire. The lake of fire is very big. It can take billions of people. It's a lake. Thank you. But you know what's going to happen? Then there will be 1,000 years where Jesus will reign. all these bad boys, naughty boys who have not accepted and all that, they'll be put in hell, not lake of fire. They'll be put in hell. Then after the 1,000 years is over, and the devil has been dealt with and everything, there's going to be a judgment. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. See, in that judgment, they say, the Bible says the books were opened. Books in plural. And another book, which is the book of life. And watch this. He said, and the men were judged out of the things that were written in the books. My brother, the book of your life is being written.
Amen.
Amen.
Men may not know what you do, but God does.
Amen.
Stop all this hypocrisy. It is being recorded. There are angels, that's their job. They don't have any other job. They watch your life every day. The Bible actually says in the book of Malachi, on the positive side, says the book of remembrance. Even for the good things. But there's another book that's being written also for even for the bad things. So, on the Great White Throne Judgment, all the books will be opened. Now, of course, the Bible too will be there. And then, the book of life. Then people will be judged out of the things that were written in the book. Then, after they've been judged on that, based on what they're... Every thought. You can hide from man, you can't hide from God. That thought that is in your mind is recorded. You better clean it up with the blood of Jesus. Now. Quick. Praise the Lord. If it's not in line with the word of God, amen. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. Give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. I was reading in my Bible recently. He said that if thou shouldest mark iniquity, who will stand? Thank God for God's mercy. That's why Jesus came. That's why he suffered. While you are still on this side of the earth, take that spiritual eraser of the blood of Jesus. Begin to... So when the books are opened, all that part in your life is all disappeared. So you'll only be judged out of the good things and rewarded. But seriously, I'm trying to make it light, but it's a very heavy thing. The books will be opened, and men will be judged out of the things that are written in the book. Then they will now go to the register or the book of life. And everybody whose name is not found inside the book of life is taken and cast into the lake of fire. You can't say amen, say oh me.
Amen.
Christians, people don't want this time to petition me. Jesus preached a lot about hell. Pastor Lumi, you're trying to make me afraid. Exactly. I want to scare the hell out of you.
Amen.
So you won't go there.
Amen.
Literally, there's a hell in you. In the sin nature. And if you hear this and it scares that hell out of you,
amen,
then you won't go to hell.
Amen.
I want to scare the hell out of you. Glory be to God. Now God is a good God. He doesn't want this for you. That's why he's warning us. So, thank you, Jesus. So they will be judged out of the things that are written in the books. Then they will be checked in the register. So anybody whose name is not found in the book of life will now be taken from the county jail, hell, and then put into the lake of fire. Now, there's something else here that people don't know. But it's good to know it. It's not our portion. It's not going to be. We're not. If you're a Christian and you stay with God, it doesn't apply to you. But it's good to know. You can use it to preach to people. Especially when they are skeptical. Don't fight with them. But just tell them, it's true. Jesus said, if I preach and a person doesn't believe, he said, I don't condemn him. He didn't say he's not condemned, though. He said, I don't condemn him. He said, the word I have spoken will condemn him when? At the last day. Now, thank God it's not the last day yet.
Amen.
So between now and the last day, you can repent, which is what God wants. Now, watch this. You know what Jesus said? In one of his teachings on hell, he said that it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day than for the people who heard my preaching and rejected it. He said, woe to thee, Chorazin. Woe to thee, Bethsaida. He said, if the great works which Jesus did in his ministry that were done in your midst, he said, if they were done in Sodom, they would have long repented. He said, it shall be more tolerable. It means that there are different compartments of hell. And some are more severe. Yeah, we have it in the natural. There's, you can convict people who says we hard labor. Then there are some, it's not hard labor, but they're all in jail. There's solitary confinement. Why are we telling us all of these things? So you won't go there. And then you can talk to the guys next door. You remember that man who had five brothers? The rich man? Lazarus's rich man? When he got to hell, then he has not got the lake of fire yet. This is just ordinary hell. You know, he said, I am tormented in this flame. He said, oh, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. Let him give a little water and touch my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, oh, my brother, it's not like that. This is a big gulf. We can't come from there, and you can't come from there. Ah! The man began to say, hey! He said, okay, I have five brethren. The fivefold ministry. Another message for another day. Look, let me tell you, titles will not get you to heaven. It's character that will get you to heaven. It's the blood of Jesus that will get you to heaven. Is this clear? You can have all the... Ask Judas. Judas is in hell, and he was an apostle. So we should stop all this title nonsense. So anyway, he said to him, he said, I have five brethren. He said, go and tell. He said, let him go and tell them. You know what Father Abraham said? Father Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Moses was dead now. The prophets were dead. He's talking about the Bible.
Amen.
He said, they have Moses and they have the prophets. Let them hear them. Ah! The man said, no! Because he too was in the same problem. When he was on the earth. He said, no, Father Abraham. You know, if they won't hear, because I used to go to church every Sunday. I used to go to the synagogue every Sabbath. And I heard Moses and I heard the prophets all my life, but I didn't believe. He said, but if this Lazarus that used to stay in front of my house, if you send him and they see him from raised from the dead, he said, they will believe. And Abraham blows a religious tradition. He said that if they don't believe Moses and they do not believe the prophets, he said, even if one was raised from the dead, they will not believe. Didn't Jesus prove it?
Yes, sir.
Did Jesus not raise Lazarus?
Yes, sir.
And they said they wanted to kill him. And I'm going to tell you something. I speak prophetically. You know, we're going to raise plenty of the dead with the spirit without measure that is coming. Plenty. It's going to be, it will be common. It won't be too common, but it will be common. Just like today, tongues is common. But as common as tongues is, not every Christian speaks in tongues. We're going to see cancers healed, arms grow out. It will be normal. It will be, you know, it's because of the power of spirit without measure. Great healings, great deliverance and all that. You know, people will look at it like this and won't believe. It's good. You will see. Just like in the ministry of Jesus. The Bible says if all the miracles Jesus did, if it was written, he said the world cannot contain the books, yet they didn't believe. So miracles will not make you believe. You can see the dead raised like this. You say, he didn't die. Only headaches me. And they didn't understand. But yeah, it's a special kind of coma. And some people go and bring some scientific papers and some doctors, and they will tell you some instances of when some of these things have happened. Oh, yeah, you will always find some way of rationalizing. That's why unbelief is a terrible thing. The Bible says a wicked heart of unbelief. The Bible calls unbelief wickedness. And the root of it is dishonesty. They hear the word of God. And who doesn't know that there is a God? The heavens declare the glory of God. Our earth, our bodies are fearfully and wonderfully made. Look at the history of Israel. There is so much overwhelming circumstantial evidence, physical evidence, not spiritual, that there is a God. And men will look at it like and say, there is no God. They will meet him there. So they will take them, judge them in the book, according to the books, check in the book of life, and take each person will fit his compartment depending on what he did. That's why it will be more tolerant. But none of them is good. My wife said it. Even though one is more tolerable than the other, my lobby. Don't go there. There is none that is good.
Amen.
But some are worse than others. But who wants to compare? Who wants to be comparing hell? You will not go to hell.
Amen.
That's why Jesus came.
Amen.
That's why he suffered all the insult. Do you remember how they slapped him that day? Yeah? They took him to hell, beat him on the head. Then they bowed and said, hey, hail King of the Jews, hail King of the Jews. The Bible said he said nothing. They crucified him. Go and see that movie. If you haven't seen it, go and see The Passion by Mel Gibson. It's the most realistic version of the crucifixion that I have seen in movie. And it's very good. Yes, and watch it once every 6 months. When you start feeling, you know, that you know you are suffering for Jesus and your Christianity is hard and everything, when you watch that movie, sanity will return. Because you know you haven't seen anything yet. You see what they did to him. But all of that was so you won't go here.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Don't waste it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Don't go to hell because the price for your not going has been paid. Don't be a fool. Accept the price. So, sit down if you can. Jesus is coming back. And everybody's going to see him. This is not the rapture. The rapture is a twinkling of an eye. You know? And there are going to be there are three orders of the resurrection. Probably look at this in my next lesson in more detail. But I wanted to zero in on this one that he's coming back. He's coming back. And every eye will see him. And all the nonsense they have said, ungodly sinners with ungodly speeches, have ungodly spoken against him by the book of Jude. You know, everybody's going to give an account. Every tongue will confess, and every knee will bow that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But before this, there's going to be a pre-tribulation rapture. We talked about it the other day. There's going to be a mid-tribulation rapture, which is for the 144,000 and two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. And there's going to be a post-tribulation rapture just before this, really almost simultaneously. As he's coming down to the sky, he will pick up his elect from the four corners of the earth, the remnant of his seed. And they will join us on the other side. But all the guys on the earth, who didn't accept, recalcitrant and unbelieving and all of that, they will see God's vengeance. Verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega. See, what John did here in these two verses was just summarized. just summarized everything he's going to be saying in the book of Revelation. He just gave a very brief synopsis, a brief summary of it. It says, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm coming. Jesus is Alpha and Omega. I didn't hear you. The beginning and the end, says the Lord. Watch this. Who is? Who was? And who is to come? The Almighty. That's the person we're dealing with. He has all power, all control. The fact that he's given the earth to men for a few thousands of years, and men begin to, you know, behave as if there is no God. They're going to come to know him when he comes. And everybody is going to see him. And as he declares to us, you know, God is very kind. I got to close. He showed us the answer. It's like you have an exam. Then they go and show you the question and the answer before the exam comes. Only God can do that kind of thing. You see, you have to pass. He said, I'm coming. This is the answer. I am Alpha, I'm Omega, I'm beginning and the end. You know, so if you accept me now, you won't go through all this tribulation and all this suffering. So you don't have to go through all of this. I love you. That's why I sent my prophet and I sent my angel to reveal these things to John. Then I got him to write it in the book of Revelation and posted it to all humanity. You know the best-selling book in the world? The Bible. The Bible. It's, till tomorrow, it's the best-selling book in the whole world. No book outsells the Bible. God is leaving himself. Yes, give the Lord a clap up. God is leaving himself a witness. You can't live in this day and age and say you didn't hear. And he showed you the end from the beginning. Let us pray. Stand to your feet. Don't play with your Christianity. And don't let anybody fool you. Those things, they are real, man. The Bible is true. It's not philosophy. It's not religion. It's reality. Let's talk to God. The King is coming. The King is coming. Let us prepare ourselves. Let's get ourselves ready. Let's clean up. Whatever you do, he's given us his blood. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit. We spoke about this last time, you know, preparing the glorious church. So clean yourself up. So when he comes, you're ready. You're clean. Not by your own works, but by his blood, and by his word, and by his spirit. Let's talk to God. The whole purpose of this lesson is to let us, the Bible says, every man that had this hope purifies himself. It's real, folks. Jesus is coming. And what I'm talking about, I believe, is going to happen in the next 20 to 30 years. 20 to 30 years is not a long time. 30 years ago, you know, 40 years ago, I got born again. 40 years just gone like that. Pew. And now it's not going to be up to, I don't think it's going to be up to 40, knowing the times and seasons. I can't put the day and hour, I don't know. But, you know, clean up, folks. Mommy has been shouting this thing, put on the armor of light. The day is dawning. The night is coming. It's true, folks. It's true.
Lift up your hands.
Lift those hands to the coming King.
To the coming King.
Bow before him.
Bow before him and adore him. Sing. Alleluia.
Things the Holy Spirit is emphasizing in this end time is for us to be prepared for His coming. Jesus is coming, folks. Jesus is coming. All the signs are there. Look at Matthew 24. The other day we were at home watching television and they said, you know, rioting all over the whole world. Hong Kong, in Chile, in Santiago, you know, in Lebanon, all over the whole place. They're all signs of His coming. Jesus was not here when He said all these things 2,000 years ago. We can see everything. Earthquakes, pestilences, climate change, the sea and the waves roaring. You have to be a fool not to believe. Raise that hand. Pray after me. Say, Father, I confess our sins and cling with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that has shown us and is showing us things to come so we can be properly prepared. Thank you for the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I believe. Father, I believe. Father, I believe. I accept the truth of your word. Oh my God, have mercy on me. Help me to prepare. Help me to put off the works of darkness and put on the armor of love, the armor of light, so that I will be ready when he comes. And I will not be the tribes of the earth that we mourn. I will not be like the people of the earth that will begin to cry when he comes. Rather, I will be one of those that will come back with him. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me not to miss this hour of visitation. The Bible tells me, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Oh, I hold on. I grab. I hold on. I grasp this hour of salvation. This hour of deliverance. In Jesus' name. Amen. Pray in the Spirit. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Lambra kama toloma 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 toloma. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. One of the greatest crimes of the church leadership at the moment, although God is going to change the leadership, He's in the process of doing that as I speak, is end time truth is not taught. Practically every message you hear today on television is about material things. How you can get a bigger house. How you can get a car. How you can, get a job in Abuja. Get contract. All the miracles and everything is all centered around the financial and the material primarily. Or the physical, if you're looking for a husband or you're looking for a baby. And there's nothing wrong in those things. God wants to bless us. But what I've just preached to you this morning is more important than all those things. Where will the car help you the day Jesus comes? And that's why the Bible, that's why we have the kind of church we have. A very carnal church. Very man-centered, need-oriented, entertainment-based church. And the reason is, the Holy Spirit has just emphasized this, so I go and sit down. The reason is because end-time truth is not preached. Jesus is coming soon. And you know what the Bible says? He that had this hope purified himself. Why are they not purifying themselves? They don't have that hope. And somebody has told them this lie. That once you are born again, the day Jesus comes, everybody will just go. It's not true. It is those who are watching and praying always. Everybody say watching, watching. Praying. Pray. They say always. Now shout the always.
Always.
That's what the man said. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. That you will be accounted worthy to escape. People who don't watch and pray, they're not going to escape. They will say peace and safety and sudden destruction. That's why we're preaching what we're preaching. Something that was a pastor loves you. He wants you to escape. God bless you. I'm done.